Hope you've had a good week. Amen. You know, it's always wonderful reading and walking with God. Psalm 100, I mean, starting from when we prayed, you know, Psalm 100, only God knows how many times I've read, but I saw something I'd not seen, you know, and as we prayed tonight, and I got very excited about it, you know. So when he says serving with singing, serving with gladness, he said, why? Because we didn't make ourselves. We are the work of his hands and the sheep of his pasture. So if you put that together, he's saying, just be happy. Be excited. Why? Because you didn't put yourself in this situation. You didn't put yourself in this life to even begin with. God did. And God must have a plan. Amen. And you are the sheep of his pasture, meaning it's his job to take care of you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So it's always good, great, wonderful, exciting to be in church. You know, then we sang. And then as we sang, what's that song now? Which, you don't remember the songs you sang. I'm trying to remember. I have seen the Lord's goodness. Woo! I remember my father. That's one of his favorites. You know, he will sing that, and you heard me say, whoo, that's the sound he would make when he's singing that one. Whoo! So as I was just remembering him, I was like, whoo, you know, excitable person of praise. Hallelujah. Amazing, amazing. Amen. And anyway, so let's try to move on. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. So you're welcome to the booster service. I welcome the online. Now, you call them what? Online congregation. On whatever platform, you know, MixLR, Facebook, soon to be added, YouTube. Amen. Well, I think YouTube, we said we would not do live on YouTube, but the videos will get loaded on ultimately, you know. So Facebook and MixLR online congregation. Hallelujah. We trust God that we'll all be blessed. Amen. So let's say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time. It's always a privilege to sit at your feet and hear your word. Like matter, we know that this is the only thing that matters. We look to you even tonight to open our eyes, open our understanding, that we would behold the wondrous things in your word. We trust you that as you speak to us tonight, indeed faith is born in our heart. We have clarity. We thank you because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we thank you because even as your words go forth, they never go alone. You said you confirm your words with miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. And distributions of the Holy Ghost. Thank you because tonight is no exception. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Are you there? So I did a teaching. In time past, so I don't know what it is. I think Lagos traffic did some harm to my leg this week. So I've had a little limping pain since yesterday. You know, I had 2 days of horrible traffic driving home on Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, almost 3 hours each time. And I just woke up and I kept thinking, what was it? What caused this? What is this? And then this morning, it struck me that, that's your traffic. Amen. But God will deliver us from. You know, there are some prayer points that are geographical. You have to pray them where you are, because the other people who understand that prayer point, no matter what you say, you know, you understand the prayer point. Even when Mr. Jay was testifying about Johnny Messi's, I was thinking to myself, you know, it's strange. I don't hear that very much in Europe. You know. Because the perils of the road are not the same. You know, we know that God still kept you when you go from wherever, London to Amsterdam, God kept you. But most people won't come and. But for us, he delivered us from armed robber, from pothole. There was an ambassador that says there's nothing he fears more on the Nigerian highway than the potholes. You know, so pothole, armed robber, police, custom, bandits now. So The list is very plenty. So when you go and you come, you have to really, it's significant. You know what I'm talking about. It's not imaginary. This is significant stuff. So some things are geographical. God will heal our land. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16, are you there? Okay, so it says, let me read from verse 15 for context. This is Jesus speaking. The Bible says from verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So there are a number of things. Just again, let me clear my mind on some thoughts that have been running in there. If I stand just unusually behind the pulpit all day, like a Baptist or Anglican minister today, now you know why. Amen. But there are a number of things that we can and we should be looking at. How many people have ever felt or ever thought to yourself, I wish they would teach more about relationships. I wish they would teach more about business. Anybody, let's just be honest. You just say, I wish, you know. You are wondering, me too, I wish it, you know. I wish it, in all honesty, you know. So as a preacher, I can tell you that. As a pastor of a congregation at the moment, I can tell you that I wish. But one of the things, sometimes when I have those conversations with God, because as I'm thinking about, okay, this is what God wants me to teach on, and I'm thinking to myself, God, okay, when will you let me teach this or teach that? It struck me that if you don't get the foundations right, where the spirituals are concerned, those other things will never work. Are you with me? You will never have the kind of life you should have, no matter what you do, except you get the spirituals right. Okay? The spiritual, we know, we have read in the scriptures that it says to us that the things that are not seen are eternal, the ones that are seen are temporary. All of those more mundane things, they're important. Okay? So number one is that this is the foundation. Okay? Remember Jesus talking about the fact that when you build, you have to build your house on the rock. What did he call the rock? He said you build it on the spiritual, you build it on his word. That's when it can stand. Okay? So whether it's a business, it's a home, it's whatever, that's when it can stand. When you build it on spirituals. Okay? Number two is that you actually would not even know, the spiritual would help you make advancements in the spiritual. And as I say that, I was very happy when Mr. Sajay was testifying, because that was one of the things that was coming to my mind, that the spirituals. Now you see, there's no business principles that I want to teach that can work the way he just described to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? No business principles can work that way. The only thing that can work that way is your walk with God. It's being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that will work for that one. That you will suddenly know, without being in the management, that you will know that the business will do a promo. There's no way. There's nothing. I can't teach you 10 principles to a successful business. I can. Are you there? But guess what? Number one, two, and three are develop a very strong walk with God. Are you with me? One, two, three. Develop a very strong, rich walk with God. Then we can now start from number four to talk about other things. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So one of those things we have been dealing with is prayer. How we prayed. And my last teaching was on diverse kinds of prayer. Different kinds of prayer. That as there are different kinds of prayer, you need to know that for one. And then you need to know certain things about the different kinds of prayer, and you can listen to that when you are set. And while speaking about that, I touched on speaking with other tongues, and I said that will have to be dealt with separately, you know, and not just crammed into the midst of that. Why? Because it's very important. Very, absolutely important. So tonight, actually, I'll start a series, probably a three-part series, if the time permits, on speaking in other tongues. And again, for this, I didn't quite rely on previous teachings that I've done. I just had to ask God, what do you want me to say? And how do you want me to go at this? So I'm speaking the way I believe God is laying on my heart to speak about it this time. So tonight, I want to touch on myths about speaking in tongues. Myths. Can I hear you say myths? Myths is what? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's M-Y-T-H-S. So that you don't, it's not a goofy. Or, okay, so my English might not be fantastic, but just know it's not that one. It's M-Y-T-H-S. And the word myths means something, things that are popularly believed, even though they may be wrong. Or they are even more than likely wrong. Okay, so things that people believe about something, but those things are generally wrong. But that's what everybody believes. So everybody talks about it that way. Everybody says this about it. Or not, do you? The word everybody is not, I mean, many people. Don't let me say everybody. You know, when you hear everybody does this, everybody says that, it's a lie. Are you there? So when your child comes back from school and says, Daddy, I want, Xbox. Everybody in my class has Xbox. Now lie. Are you with me? I want the new shoe, the new Kinecon shoe. You know, that one that has light, that does this, that does that. Everybody in my class has it. Now lie. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I've learned over time not to speak in absolutes. Everybody OT. Number one, there's no way you know. Are you with me? So, everybody does that. How do you know? Are you everybody? Are you in the house? So the word everybody is a red flag for me. When somebody say everybody do, immediately alarm goes off in my head. Pam 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 pam. Examine that thing you just said again. Examine it again. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I say the woman say every husband, now lie. The men like that one. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so where were we? Myths. So we're talking about myths about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is so important, and that's why we're doing this way. Smith Wigglesworth, who many of you have know about or have heard me mention or whatever, great man of faith. He was actually referred to, or is often referred to, as an apostle of faith. And Smith Wigglesworth, in his ministry, amazing ministry, was a plumber. I always like to give that background so that people would know that your background is not the issue. The issue is your work with God. Okay? He was an illiterate plumber and who found God, developed a strong work with God, became an apostle of faith, took the gospel all over England and America. Eventually, he was in England. Originally, he went to minister in America as well, you know, just from developing his work with God, and was renowned. In fact, I keep hearing different numbers, but I think the average safe number I can give you is he was renowned to have raised about 8 people from the dead. Certified. That is not certified means that there was a health worker or a clinician there who was able to check the person and say, yes, this person died. Are you with me? I mean, we were having a prayer meeting October 1, some years ago in Ibadan. And as we were having that meeting, we were there. I don't know if Pastor Enwe was there and if you remember. But as that meeting was on, a lady was coming for the prayer meeting that morning. And apparently, she took an Okada, got down on the Okada, and a car came and rammed. Is it a car or another Okada or something? Rammed her by the side of the road before she could cross over to the side where the church was, you know. And we just knew that people came, you know, eventually called us, come, this person. And then we had to take to the hospital and all of that. And one of the people there said, in fact, it's a miracle we saw today. And I said, why? She said, that lady was dead. That no, she wasn't breathing at a point. but she woke back up again. So again, I can't tell you that. I wasn't even there. You hear what I'm saying? So I'm saying it's not that kind of thing. Smithwick Goosewood was the kind of situation where the person died, where the doctor was there, checked, or they took the person to hospital, they checked, and they said, dead. And then he woke, raised the person from the dead. So they asked Smithwick Goosewood, they said, what is the secret of your ministry? He said, I edify myself in other tongues for about an hour, and I go out and I edify the people. Are you there? John Gillick, I think Pastor Enwa was saying a lot about John Gillick last week, so I won't say too much about John Gillick now. But he asked John Gillick, and John Gillick said, tongues have been the making of my ministry. Tongues have been the making of my ministry. Meaning, you know what? Virtually everything that you see now is about tongues. Some have referred to speaking in tongues as the doorway to the supernatural. The doorway. Why? Because Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit coming. So some people say there was a season, largely the Old Testament, where the ministry of God the Father was superseding. That was the main ministry in operation. Okay? Then Jesus came. So it was Jesus' season, so to speak. But then demonstrating to us what it means to be a man under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And then now we are under the dispensation fully of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? But when he spoke about the Holy Ghost coming, he said when he comes, he will come and he will give us power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost will come, has come upon you. But then chapter 2 tells us that when that Holy Ghost came, the first sign was not the power. It was the tongues. Are you with me? Mark 16 says what? This sign shall follow them that believe in me, in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That word there means with a new language. Some people have said, oh, it means that your speech will become purified. That's what Jesus meant there. You know, they said, oh, that Mark 16, he meant that your speech will become purified. You will not be swearing. You will not be using swear words. I think it was the Welsh Revival or the Irish? No, I think it was the Welsh Revival. But the people got saved. And when they got saved, they were riding horses. But when they got saved, they had to retrain all the horses. Because this was, revival, the whole town is saved and all that. But they had to retrain the horses because the horses were used to swear words. They say, move it, damn it! For the horse to move. Hey, he said, damn it, quickie, 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 quickie. Now, they say, move. The horse is waiting for damn it. You know. So, they had to retrain the horses to say, no more damn it is coming. No more of those swear words are coming out. But, so some have said, in Mark 16, they said that's what this is. But that's not what it is. The original word means languages. The word tongues means languages. He said, they shall speak with new languages. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, what I'm saying to you is that when the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus said he would, the first thing he brought was the tongues. So, that's why people have said that tongues are the doorway. That's the doorway. Speaking in tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. So, if you want to experience the supernatural, then you'll have to also explore speaking in other tongues. If you like, call it praying in other tongues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And do it much more. We know that Apostle Paul had an amazing supernatural ministry. Amazing supernatural ministry. But then he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul was writing to a whole congregation in the city of Corinth, the Corinthian church. And at that time, there was no Corinthian Baptist Church, no Corinthian Methodist Church, Corinthian Pentecostal Fellowship. Abi? Then Ecclesiastical Church of Corinth. There was just the church at Corinth. And then Paul wrote to that whole congregation of the church at Corinth and said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Are you with me? I always like to say, the only way you dare make such statements is that you had better be speaking in tongues all the time. Because is you me or am I you? Eh? Is me you? Is you me? So how can you write me and say I speak in tongues more than he or? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, the only way is that you are sure that there is no moment of the day that you are not praying in other tongues. That's the only way. So the man must have been praying round the clock, praying round the clock. Are you with me? And it's not strange. It's not new. I've seen people do that. Are you there? I've seen people do that who pray hours on end. In fact, you know, I told the story of a man who was praying in his sleep. And it was actually Bratoks that told me the story. So is this somebody we know? And he said he had gone to see this guy and he slept in his house. You know, when you say house, in those days it's your room. You know, so he slept in this guy's place. He said, and in the night, he looked at this man of God and the man was... He thought to himself, impossicant. Then he thought, maybe this guy is not sleeping. He said, so he put his hand in front and checked. But the man didn't notice anything. Are you with me? You can train yourself. Yeah? Be being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Okay, so in dealing with the meats, as I deal with the meats, and I have here four meats in particular, in dealing with those four meats, I expect that we'll be dealing with fundamentals of speaking in other tongues. Fundamentals of speaking in other tongues. Okay, so we'll deal with certain things that are very fundamental. Things that answer the questions that people raise. Okay, those who don't believe in speaking in other tongues. Are you still there? Okay, and very often, now one of the things I think is most pathetic today is to find people make jokes about speaking in other tongues. Are you there? It's become part of comedy. Are you with me? It's part of comedy for somebody to want to act something or dramatize something and they want to laugh at something and then they use speaking in tongues. The guy is praying, say, "Sharp," and everybody starts laughing. And I'm like, that's not funny. It's not even funny. Are you with me? Anything actually related to the Holy Ghost, I don't like to joke with it. I don't like to joke with it. When Jesus was speaking and he taught and he said, every sin that a man may sin will be forgiven him. He said, but the sin with the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven him. If you look at the context in which he spoke what he said, it was when he had demonstrated, you know, certain things. And they said, he does these things and he casts out devils by Beelzebub. That was the context. And what was he saying? He was saying, hey, they are calling a move or manifestation of a Holy Ghost Beelzebub. So it's even more dangerous when I hear Christians and maybe even preachers make fun of it and make jest and make light of it. Are you with me? If we knew what it was, we would not make fun of it. Neither would we even find it funny. Are you there? Personally, it revolutionized my life by completely changing my prayer life. You know, it changed my prayer life completely. So it's not a joking matter for me. It's serious business. Hallelujah. And I keep telling God, I need to do more. I need to do more. I need to do more. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move on. The myths. Number one myth is that people say that if I'm born again, then I already have the Holy Spirit. I don't need any other Holy Spirit. Have you heard this thing that I'm saying before? I don't need whatever terminology you want to use for it. You know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. You just call it speaking in other tongues. You call it, what else? What else do we call it? The infilling with the Holy Ghost. You know, then people say, oh, but if I'm born again, I already have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But the Bible tells us clearly that there is a separate experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That there's a separate experience after being born again that the Bible refers to sometimes as the filling or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are two separate experiences. So a person gets born again, that's one experience. Does he have a Holy Ghost? Yeah, he has the Spirit of God, yeah. But definitely, no matter what term you want to use for it, definitely the Bible teaches us that there's another experience. And that experience is characterized by speaking in other tongues. Are you with me? Okay, so let's do a little Bible study. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Luke 24, and I read from verse 44. So now we first take it from what Jesus said. Okay, so remember, what meat are we dealing with? But people say, if I'm born again, I already have the Holy Spirit. That's enough. Are you there? Let me just mention, it's not one of the four things that I believe God laid on my heart to say particularly, but let me mention also that there is another myth, which is an erroneous myth by those who believe in speaking tongues, that if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not going to heaven. There is a small minority of people, I don't think there are very many, but there's a small minority of people who virtually preach that. And that is wrong. We know John 3:16, we know clearly why people are condemned and go to hell. We know that one is clear. God sent his son to die for us, yes. Then he tells us what? Up to verse 18, he tells us that if you believe, you were saved. If you don't believe, you are condemned. It had nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we've dismissed that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What shall I do to be saved? Says the jailer. In Acts chapter 16, he said, what should I do to be saved? They said, look, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household. Shekinah. Are you with me? So being saved and going to heaven has nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But your experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit has a lot to do with being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm saying? Okay, so are you at Luke 24? So the myth we're dealing with is that if I'm born again, I already have the Holy Spirit, I don't need any other experience. And we said that is a myth. It is untrue, it's popularly believed by many, but it is not correct. Okay, so we look at what Jesus had to say. Luke 24, Jesus had risen from the dead here. We'll look at Luke's writing about it. We'll look at John's writing about it. Remember, this is a booster service and it's a teaching service. So, and like I said, we need to be grounded in certain things. Has anybody ever been challenged by anyone who said, why do I need any other thing again? I don't need any Holy Spirit. Anybody ever heard that before? Huh? That somebody ever said to you, I'm born again, I already have the Holy Spirit. Anybody? Okay, only one. Right, good. So Luke 24, are you there? Verse 44, then this is talking about Jesus, he appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Okay, so this is that encounter, right? When he rose from the dead and he was talking to disciples. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What I want you to note is that he was telling them that there is still something to come. Okay? Go to John chapter 20. John, let's see how John talks about this appearance of Jesus and what he shared with the disciples. John 20, are you there? Look at verse 19. He said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. So now, hear this. Many believe that, actually, many theologians believe that this was when he got saved. So, I mean, John gave us a little more detail about that encounter than what Luke told us about. John told us at that time, he said what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And many theologians believe that, yes, this was the time when they actually got born again. But remember what Luke also told us, that John has not told us, that he said to them what? But tarry. But wait. Okay? So, even though he said in that encounter, receive the Holy Spirit, he said, but wait for another experience. Something is coming. Now, go to the book of Acts. And I think Acts gives us a slightly clearer picture of the fact that he appeared. Some things happened. So in the book of Acts, the Bible says from verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, Acts chapter 1, sorry. I've said it in my head. Amen. Don't you people listen to the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. He said, verse 4, Acts 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, so again, he was telling them there's still something to come. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has what? Come upon you. But I thought he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it looks like there's a separate experience he was talking about apart from that one. They could not have been born again until Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? So when he rose from the dead, appeared to them, they were born again now. Receive the Holy Spirit, they believe that that's when they got born again. But then he was still telling them there's another experience. There's still something. That experience comes with what? Power. It's your entrance into a life of power. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so now let's now see. So that's Jesus, and that's how Jesus told us. Jesus helps us to dispel the myth that there are not two separate experiences. Are you with me? Now go to Acts chapter 10. So we now look at what happened in the early church. And let us see also whether we can distinguish that there are two different experiences. Acts chapter 10. So Acts chapter 10, for those who may not know, but right from the beginning, my Bible titles it, Cornelius sends a delegation. So it's about the centurion by the name of Cornelius, who was a good man. Good man, very good man. But who also clearly shows us that being good doesn't mean being saved. Are you there? So he was a good man, but he was not saved. So in his goodness, he gave alms. He did all sorts of things. He prayed. But he was not saved. Are you there? You know, some people are trying to give their way to heaven. They're trying to give their way to heaven. They will give anybody and everybody. Yeah, blind, lame, not blind, not lame. Anybody they find, they will give. You know, they will cook, they will serve everybody, they will dish out money as they go home, as they wake up and go to work in money, they will dish out money. They are trying to be good to make it to heaven. But it doesn't work. Okay? But rather, given all what that man had done, God thought to himself, this man is looking for me. God saw his heart. Again, never really worry yourself. You know, about people and say, but what about these people who don't know and all of that? God can get across to everybody. Are you there? It's not my teaching for tonight, but God gets across to everybody. And if anybody doesn't get saved, the truth is that they did not want to. Are you there? Somebody will say, are you trying to tell me that every single person on the surface of the earth was preached to or has been preached to? No. But even Romans 1 tells us that even the things that are seen reveal to us God, even down to the Trinity and the Godhead and his power. He said everything is revealed, meaning that for anybody who is seeking God, just by the things they are seeing, they will see and they will know that there is God. And when God sees that, like he saw in Cornelius, God will show them the way. When he sees that, this guy is panting for me, this guy is looking for me, God will point out the way to them. So God sent an angel. The angel appeared and told him, send for Peter, and he will show you, he will tell you what you must do. Okay? So then, verse 44, Acts 10, 44. The Bible says, while Peter was still speaking this word, so Peter was really speaking to him, telling him everything, you know, about salvation and all of that. And the Bible says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of his circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles. So why? Number one, why were they shocked? Because they believed. Listen to me carefully. They believed. They knew these guys that Peter was still preaching the gospel to them. They did not know these guys to be believers yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they expected that these guys will be saved. Okay? And they expected that when these guys are saved, then they can have the next experience. Do you understand that logic? That's why they were surprised. And they looked and they said, they were astonished. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on them. How did they know that? The Bible says in verse 46, he said, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the way they knew that these guys have already experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit was that they heard them speak with tongues. And they were astonished. Why? Because we are still preaching the gospel to these guys. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they expected that, yes, there is a gift of tongues, or there is a gift of the Holy Spirit, or a baptism, or an experience. Are you still there? And that experience is characterized by speaking with other tongues. And it happens for people who believe. Are you with me? So, see these guys begin to speak in other tongues. But what does that mean? It means that as he was preaching, these guys believed. Have I lost you there? Have I lost you? It also means I'm usually careful when I'm talking about somebody who died not believing God, because I don't know. Are you there? I usually will say things like, as far as we know. Because I don't know. I don't know what that guy did on his deathbed. I don't know what he didn't do. You get what I'm talking about? But that as far as we know, this guy did not believe. That's as far as we know. Okay? But clearly something happened. And the real emphasis here is that these guys, in their logic, were astonished because they knew that people who believe can have a next step experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is characterized by speaking with other tongues. C'est clair? Oui, c'est clair. Bon. On y va. Let's go. Acts chapter 19. See, some people did not shame their French teachers. They went to class. And they have not forgotten. And the ones who are in school did not answer me. Oui, oui, oui. Tu comprends? They are looking away from me. Acts chapter 19. Are you there? Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. He says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Okay, so you see that? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Saying that, okay, after you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And then they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We have not even heard any such thing before. He said, so, okay, you were baptized, but into what baptism were you baptized? And then they said, into John's baptism, meaning we had the baptism of water. Okay? Then verse 4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. So that's the baptism you get baptized to show that you have repented and accepted Jesus as Lord. So John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, okay, so they were baptized. And then, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Bible says what? The Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened alongside with that? And they spoke with tongues. So again, we are seeing that there is a clearly different experience from the salvation experience that is referred to as receiving the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost, and it is characterized by what? Speaking with tongues. Hallelujah. So that's number one myth that we have dispelled. Are we fine? Number two myth. People say it passed away with the early disciples. It's all those tongues. Yes, it's real, but it was for that time. It was for the what some refer to as the apostles of the Lamb. The ones who were there when Jesus was there and walked with him. Those were the people who had that gift. That gift is not for today. Okay? And one of the scriptures they will speak about is 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 13. So some have referred to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they say, love never fails, verse 8. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. One of the ways I like sometimes to deal with wrong interpretation of scripture is to say to people, why did you pick on one thing? Are you getting me? This is talking about the future, not now. But even just, let's play around with it. Why did you pick on one thing? He said, the Bible says, tongues will cease. I said, but is it only tongues he mentioned there? He said, prophecies will cease. So why did you pick on tongues? That is tongues that are ceased now. Prophecy is still okay, but tongues are ceased. Why only tongues? You are an enemy of tongues. Are you there? He even says, knowledge itself will vanish away. So has knowledge vanished away? So if the others have not gone, where is tongue going? or where goeth the tongues? Are you with me? But not just that. Mark 16 that we read earlier, and I'm moving a little faster because I'm trying to wrap up. So this is our second myth. We're talking about four myths. Mark 16 that we read earlier says, this sign shall follow them that believe. It did not say the apostles of the Lamb. He said it will follow them, everybody who believes. This will be one of the signs that will follow them. They will speak with new languages. Hallelujah. Not only that, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit hit, and that baptism first happened, and then people were amazed and all of that, and they were wondering, are they drunk? What is going on here? Peter then spoke. So look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So Peter spoke in trying to explain to them what was going on. He had said many things, but this is one of the things he then said. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is what? To you and to your children and to all. Can I hear you say to all? He said to all who are afar off, as many. Ooh, as the Lord our God will call in the future. Is to you, your children, to all, even far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. So it did not pass away with the early apostles. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? Number three. Sorry, I mean, that's a Yeah, four. If it's of the Holy Spirit, if speaking in tongues is of the Holy Spirit, then we can't control it. Huh? Then the Holy Spirit will just get on us, move us, and we'll just be praying, speaking in other tongues, and then it's only the Holy Spirit who also can stop us. And my dad had a big problem with that, actually. And he asked me one day, he said, you know, that one issue he had with speaking in tongues, before he began to speak in tongues, was that, why is it that if it's the Holy Spirit, how come people control it? How come they say, pray, and everybody will go, you and start speaking in other tongues, and then the person will also go, in Jesus' name, and everybody will stop. Logical, isn't it? But clearly, the Bible did not say, and I think we dealt with that in the Bible school the other day, that we lose control when you speak in other tongues. So Acts chapter 2 verse 4, have we read that today at all? Acts chapter 2 verse 4, let's read that very quickly. Okay, I'm trying to wrap up in 5 minutes, if I can. By the grace of God, amen, I make the sign of the cross. Acts chapter 2 verse 4, are you there? Okay, because you can't speak about or teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit without reading this one. This is important. It says, and they were. So this is what happened to the apostles the first time the baptism with the Holy Spirit happened. He said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So this scripture clearly differentiates that the speaking was being done by the people themselves. And he said, but the utterance, what they were saying was actually not coming from them. It was coming from the Holy Spirit. Can you see that in Acts chapter 2 verse 4? He said they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began. Who began? They. So I can expand that and write in expansion. It's proper English not to put they there. That is correct. But when you expand it and you want to make it clear, I can say, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began. So they began to speak. It is them. They began to speak. So they might not began to speak. Abi? If they began to speak, then they might be filled with the Holy Spirit, but not began to speak. My Igbo is to help you understand. I understand English better than that. My English teacher knows, okay? But that my English is to help you understand it. Am I getting across? That infilling is different from the speaking. If they began to speak, then it implies very subtly that there was an act of their will in speaking. Okay? And then he explained to us that the Holy Spirit had a separate role. He said they were doing the speaking as the Spirit was giving them the utterance. Are you there? Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Maybe that will help us better. 1 Corinthians 14. And okay, are you there? 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 13, just for context. It says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may speak, that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's not my understanding that's producing the words, it's the Spirit that's giving me the words. Do you understand that? What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I also will. I will. Can I hear you say I will? I will means what? It's a function of my will. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will. It's as good as saying I choose to pray with my spirit, and I choose to pray with my understanding also. And somebody says, when you say, I will pray with my spirit, and I will also, then that sounds like my main prayer is in the spirit. The also is the jara. The also is the addition. Do you understand that? But my main prayer, I will pray with my spirit, and I will also. also. I will also do that one. But I will pray with my spirit. So again, telling us how much Paul believed in and spoke in other tongues. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So do we see that? And of course, if you read verse 32, if we went further down, the Bible tells us he was talking about prophesying. And in verse 32, he said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So if in prophecy, which is inspired utterance or message to a people, if he says that that one, I can stop it, I can decide not to speak it. That's what he was saying there. He said, let two or three speak and let others judge. So he was saying, let everything be done decently and in order. He said, for the spirit of a prophet is subject to it. Meaning the prophet has the ability to say, no, I'm not going to speak now. It's not as, some people interrupt anything to give a prophecy in a congregation. Somebody is preaching, say, oh, the preacher is still preaching. Oh, thus saith the Lord. Excuse me. You could have waited. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not uncontrollable. He said the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Even with a message that God has given you to the congregation. How much more my own praying in other tongues? Are you still there? Okay, last one very quickly. Some believe it's just blabbing. You know, blabbing. You are just talking nonsense like babies. Ba 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 ba. What is all the ba 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 that they do? Ba 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 that they do? Well, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Hallelujah. However, it's not just blabbing. It's absolute powerful praying. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures very quickly. Now, all of these things, each one of them I can do as a teaching for a day. Okay, so what you can imagine is that this is rushing. Okay, this is rushing. And what that means is that take down scriptures and all that, and you may want to study them again. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 2. So this now we can do like a, weekend teaching on this one alone, meets. And we do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, and then we can brood over them, explain, expatiate, dwell, meditate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, okay, let me hear you say however. However. That's important. He said, however, in the spirit, you may not understand him. He may sound silly. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, that word mysteries is often misunderstood. People think it's, he speaks things that nobody can ever understand or can ever know. No, no, no. What he's saying is that, however, in the spirit, the better way to interpret it is that he's speaking divine secrets. So in the spirit, he is uttering and praying some divine secrets, divine secrets, divine secrets, divine secrets. Things that he's not uttering them in words you can understand what he's praying about, but as he's praying it, he and God are conversing. Remember Isaiah 43, God says, state your case. So he's stating things, he's declaring things, he's asking God, petitioning and praying and interceding and doing all sorts of praying in the spirit. They are talking secrets, divine secrets. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has he entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And then he goes on to say, but these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. For who knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man? Who knows the things of God but the Spirit of God? He says, so these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that have been freely prepared or freely given to us by God. He said, and these things we declare. Not in words that human wisdom teaches. Hallelujah. So those secret things that God has prepared for us, we begin to declare them in other tongues. We begin to declare them in other tongues. He said those things eye has not seen, ear has not heard. They have not entered into the heart of men, but God has prepared them for us. And who knows those things? He said it's the Spirit of God that knows them best. Are you there? So the Holy Ghost takes hold with our spirit to begin to pray those things that God has prepared for you. He takes hold with you to begin to pray them, begin to pray them, begin to pray them, begin to pray them. Some of them you don't even know yourself. And sometimes that's why you are praying and praying and praying. And while you are praying, some things are dropping in your heart that you were not even thinking about. Sometimes you didn't pay much attention, but something happened a day later, something happened a week later, something happened a few months later. And you say, ah, and that thing crossed my mind though. What was is that in the place of prayer, you were engaging with divine secrets, the things that God has prepared for you. Hallelujah. That's why in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it talks about that likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Why? He said, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. So even the things that we think we know, oh, I need this, I need that, he said we don't even know how to pray for it. You understand? So why you think that is the shoe you need? Maybe it's not the shoe you need. Maybe it's the shoe factory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or maybe while you are looking for the shoes, you are believing God for money for the shoes. But it's not the money for the shoes that you need. It's actually just somebody you needed to meet who had the shoes that were your size and was looking for somebody to give it to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it says we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We don't know how to pray for the things that even we want to pray for. He said now, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is what I want you to see about that. Verse 27, he says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So when I pray in conjunction with the Holy Ghost, I'm praying perfectly. Why? He said, God, who searches the heart knows what the mind, what the Holy Ghost is praying. He knows it. Why? He said, because he, the Holy Ghost, is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when that kind of prayer is happening, it's perfect prayer because it's according to the perfect will of God. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so what happens? So that's number one thing that happens when we pray in other tongues. We pray divine secrets, establishing God's will. Huh? You know the Bible says, after this manner pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. One of the best ways to establish that is in other tongues. Because I don't know all of God's will, but when I pray by the Holy Ghost knows it. And I can pray it and establish the will of God. Amen. So it's not just blabbing. Remember what we're talking about. It's not just blabbing. So one, we are praying divine secrets. Two, we edify ourselves. And you can go home, read 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 again. It says, but he that speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he edifies himself. The word edifies there means he charges himself up. Charges himself up. Can I hear you say charges himself up? So you can, I like teaching it now than some years, maybe some decades ago when we did not have mobile phones. So it was a bit more difficult to, illustrate that to people. But now with mobile phones, I tell them, when you pray in other tongues, you are charging yourself like a battery. That's what it implies. You charge yourself up like a battery. And what happens? You know, when my phone is very low on battery, it tells me your battery is low. Some functions may not work. Are you there? Anybody has a phone or had a phone like that before? When it tells you your battery is low, some functions may not work. So you want to put on video and record something, the video is not coming on. You are pressing it, pressing the camera function and it's not coming on. Pressing it and it's not coming on. Why? Because the battery is low. Some believers, the battery is low. So they want to be led by the Holy Spirit. The function is not coming up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They want anointing. The function is not coming up. Are you with me? They want revelation in God's word. When they open the Bible, they want revelation. But the function is not coming up because they are not charged. Unfortunately, some are perpetually on low battery. Are you with me? Low battery. And some, there's full battery today, low battery tomorrow. Are you with me? I think the word has spoken itself. Are we? You understand what I'm saying now? Jude chapter 20 says, beloved, Jude verse 20 says, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. A translation says, make advancement in the spirit by praying in the Holy Ghost. The Amplifier says, build yourself up like an edifice. You know, first floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor. Keep building yourself up. He said, you keep building yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And lastly, we are not just blabbing, but when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are worshiping God very well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says when they stood there, they heard them speaking in different languages, and they heard them praising God and magnifying him, speaking of the wonderful works of God. So they were worshiping God. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians 14:17 speaks about that fact. It says, when you speak in other tongues, you verily give thanks well. You do it well. Hallelujah. You do it well. That's why Paul said, hey, you know what? Even when it comes to singing, I will sing with my spirit. Glory to God, because I do it well. That worship is correct. 100% pure, unadulterated worship. Fantastic. Hallelujah. So we've been dispelling myths about speaking in other tongues tonight, and we spoke about four myths particularly. We said number one, people say it passed away. Number one, anyone who is born again already has the Holy Spirit. There's no need for a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we dispelled that from scriptures. Number two, people say it passed away with the early disciples. We dispelled that from scriptures. Can I have an amen? Number three, people say if it's the Holy Spirit that is behind speaking in tongues, then we can't control it. We shouldn't be starting and stopping at will. And we dispelled it from the scriptures. And lastly, people say it's just blabbing. They just talk. Ba ba la ba la ba la ba. They just talk. Just blabbing like little children. And then we also dispelled it, and we saw from scriptures that the Bible tells us that there are incredible, amazing, awesome benefits to speaking in other tongues. So stand on your feet tonight and just begin to speak in other tongues. Begin to speak in other tongues. Taking more time than I planned to. Shatalaba, Yakarabosa Pradishta Prakadaste, Vredi de Socrobaste, Krekedebasta, Prekedoste, Rupa Siketala Bayahata. He Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That means he must be praying all the time. If he was praying all the time, that means he can't be in his prayer closet all the time. It means that as he went about his daily business, he was praying other tongues. It means that as he went to the market, he was praying in other tongues. In one place, we discovered he was a tent maker. It means as he was making the tents and knocking in the nails, he was praying in other tongues. So if you're a tailor, as you are tailoring, be praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. If you're a teacher, as you sit in the class and you've given them something to do, you've asked them to do an exercise, do a quick exercise, oh yeah, solve these problems, and they are working on it, be praying in other tongues. You can do it under your breath. As you walk on the road, pray in other tongues. So don't be stopped by the circumstance, but do it all of the time, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time, all of the time. Build yourself up like an edifice. Make advance in the spirit. Advance in the spirit. As you are taking a bath, pray in other tongues. As you are cooking, pray in other tongues. You will shock yourself. If you do that deliberately for a while, it will shock you how much advancement you will make as a believer spiritually. Thank you Lord. Father, we give you praise tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for a revolution in our prayer lives and our walk with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.